It's a goddamn miracle. It's a goddamn miracle.
Glad I could make it happen.
I can't believe we're on time, Mike.
That's what I bring to the table.
Punctuality?
May not be a good show, but I'm prompt.
Well, I would rather have prompt and a mediocre to good show than late and listen to Carl. I don't know. Hi, everybody. We're going to start the show now, I guess.
Attention parents, what you're about to see is not suitable for kids. Shoot, it's not even suitable for some grown-ups. You might want to walk away now if you ain't into these type of things.
Warning, listening to the creep-off might leave you triggered. This episode may contain murder, rape, laughing at murder and rape, ableism, Lenny Dykstra, serial keeters, smile-talking, fat-shaming, child abuse, drug abuse, pizza abuse, victim-blaming, and the state of Florida.
I'm going to give the people what they want. Sensation, horror, shock.
I'm going to deliver the goods because I'm alive and I'm not backing down.
Cuckoo, cuckoo.
Disgusting vomit inducing thing. Disgusting vomit inducing thing.
Hola, creepos. Welcome to another episode of your favorite true crime podcast. I am your host. My name is Vinny. Shout out and
excelsior, true believers.
I am joined today by a man who I love to have around the show. A breath of fresh air in these parts. Give it up for Blind Mike Geary, everybody.
Hello, buddy. Thank you for having me.
Do you hear that applause? It's coming. It's coming right through the computer.
I can feel it.
Good. Good, good, good. Now, today's show's going to be a little bit different than normally. Carl is traveling. He's going to WATP Studio B for a week of more relaxation. It's not like
good.
he needs it. Yeah, sure he can. He's not napping all the time.
That's right.
Jesus Christ. So thank you for joining us today. We are going to have fun. A lot of people are saying hello in the chat. Welcome to the show, guys. Today, we are going to do a special surprise category. But before we get to that, I want to invite our results girl in Jess to let us know who won last week's episode. Hello, Jess.
Hello. Hello. So, the results from last week. What was last week's? Missouri.
Yes. Biggest creep from Missouri.
So with 62% of the vote, the winner is Vinny.
Oh, shit. I just pulled it even, folks.
Congratulations, buddy.
Thank you. I might even be in the lead now. I need to go look.
Yeah, it's 4-3 now.
Holy shit. I took the lead?
Yeah.
That means if I beat Mike, I'm on game point and Carl has to spin? What?
I'm going to throw the match, I guess.
What? What a fortunate set of circumstances I find myself in on a Monday afternoon. Well, hot damn. Welcome to the catbird seat, everybody. That's good
Lady
news.
Lady K thinks it was bad for him now. Just wait.
Dude, there are some new ones we were talking about in our last bonus episode. And there was one that Carl came up with, Mike, that if he has to do, it is way funnier than the 7-second porn challenge.
Oh, can I know or is it a big surprise?
Oh, I'll tell you what it is. If you want to hear the whole thing, you got to go listen. You got to pay people. Okay. But here's basically the gist of it is go into a Home Depot, walk around and very obviously make yourself known to people by saying, hey, you see me, right? It's about 2:30 in the afternoon right now, and you see me standing right here at this Home Depot, right? Like you're creating alibis for yourself in a very heavy-handed way.
Okay, that's
And then
fun.
As you go through the store, you start asking people for, you know, hey, do you ever get really big garbage bags? No, like, I need bigger ones. You got to go get cleaning supplies, lime, all the shit that you would normally have to buy when you were just cleaning up a crime scene. And that is just standing there being incredibly conspicuous at the register. You have to get yourself a little candy bar or something to just toss it on there.
Of the two of you, who do you think more clearly murdered their wife in cold blood? You or Carl?
Carl. He has reason to be mad at her right now.
I kind of agree with you, yeah.
I think, listen, I would never fuck with my wife. My wife would fuck me up, Mike.
Okay. I don't know if that's really a defense that you wouldn't kill her, but.
Dude, I'm telling you, I wouldn't even attempt it. She's way too cunning for me. Way too
this is resulting in you trying to formulate a defense for yourself. I don't think you're going to kill your wife. I'll clear your name right now.
I was here at 1:08 p.m. on a Monday with you, right, Mike? And Jess saw
Everyone
me.
Everyone sees this, right? I don't. Yes. But...
Actually, shit, Mike, you are talking to me. It's 1:08. You don't hear any screams right now, right?
Not a great defense.
I witnessed.
Actually, Mike, you just might be the greatest defense. Yeah, I was with Blind Mike. Whoa, he says he didn't see me. Well, it's my mic. What do you want me to tell you?
Yeah, that's all. Oh, that's so him.
Oh, Mike would say that, wouldn't he? So, Jess, thank you so much for bringing good news today. If you would like to send any correspondence to Jess, make sure you check out our Reddit page, r/thecreepoff. She loves it when you ask her questions about her feet. And her personal information. It's her favorite.
No.
So feel free.
That's fun. I've got a few for you.
Yeah. What do you want to know? What do you want to know?
Well,
size,
first of all,
is
this another poor female listener that Carl has solicited into working for him? Or is this one of yours?
I volunteered.
Okay.
She is. Jess does a lot for us in behind the scenes. And she did volunteer for this job. And gotcha. Jess, I guess technically is an employee of the Creep Off.
I guess.
Wow. Yeah.
At what cost?
Oh, you're telling me. You're going to get that $2 this month. Thanks, Mechanical Ape. Vinny
cool,
F and Winnie. Thanks for the $2. Did I forget to say it was Super Chat Monday, everybody? Super Chat Monday.
Glad I could be here for that.
Yes, I am too. All right, Jess, get lost. We'll see you soon. I love throwing her out. It's my favorite. She's adorable, but she gets so uncomfortable. She gets so uncomfortable when you start asking her questions. We discovered that her parents were swingers.
Okay.
And that really makes her mad.
They're not.
I moved my mic. They're not. They are not.
You mean it's more of like a, like they don't label themselves that way? It's just kind of their lifestyle?
Yeah.
God damn it.
I understand.
They just call themselves open.
Right. Yeah. They experiment. They're free-willed.
Yeah.
No.
She just told me they had to buy new furniture because of the last party.
What are they doing
to it? Well, they keep having these parties at the house.
Sure. I was just explaining that they had an issue with the furniture.
Yeah.
A coating issue.
Yeah, people shot coating all over their furniture.
Yeah.
Was chafing their backs.
Listen, the shit was supposed to be scotch guarded. It was supposed to be scotch guarded. I'm sending it back. All right, Jess, sorry. Have a good afternoon.
No, it's cool. She lives in a time where that's like totally cool, you know?
This is a lot of fun. I really enjoy making her uncomfortable, Mike. But you know what I enjoy more than that?
What's that?
I enjoy a little thing called a scum parade, Mike. You want to go on one with me?
I'd love to.
Driving children
off the grid.
Carl hates that one, and since he's gone, I figured I'd play it because I love it. Now,
I kind of enjoy it too. Why does he hate it so much?
I don't know, because he's a snob about things. He likes the other one. He likes this one.
Right.
skull parade. Take me on a raid of these fuck charades.
Because it's
that
weed.
These creeps have made.
Oh, okay. I was gonna ask. It's like an Isotopes instrumental or something.
No, it's a Ween song that somebody covered, and I like it. They did a fantastic job on it. But every now and again, I like to change it up. I can't be with Ween all the time, Carl.
Right.
You know. So, Mike, one of the things that I would assume you find incredibly insulting is when people fake a handicap.
No, I actually respect the hell out of it.
Tell me more.
I applaud anyone who gives it a shot, you know?
Really? Because I like that attitude. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, ultimately, I don't, I suppose. But I'm not bothered by it. Like, oh, well, you don't know the struggle that I really have to go to, and you're taking away from that. I say, like, go for it, you know? If you get benefits from it somehow. Like, I always recommend, for example, I learned, since I started using, a white cane, the traditional blind man's cane, fly through security at airports. I'm treated like a king at airports. So I've always recommended to people, like, just pretend you're blind at airports. They'll move you right through.
Okay, let me ask you this question, because I have a flight I'm going to catch in a couple weeks. I'm going on a trip. And I'm willing to try this, Mike, under your tutelage. Yeah. So my question is this. Do I need a special blind card or anything? What's going to happen if I don't have a dog?
If you don't have a dog or a cane, I would say I'm legally blind or visually impaired. And just kind of look it a little bit. You know, like, don't make direct eye contact with these people or anything. Kind of look like, if you have to read anything, pull it real close. You know, appear visually impaired.
Okay,
and then they'll say, oh, of course, they're not going to question you.
Well, what would happen if, say, I fuck up and you know, like, I'm going through the thing and I'm like, oh, I'm visually impaired and I'm acting today. And then I slip up and say something like, hey, nice shirt. What happens then? Do I get in trouble?
I think people, for the most part, feel bad about calling you out. So I think you'll be all right. Although, I guess, as we're about to learn, there are some circumstances where you could get caught.
Yes. When you are completely brazen with it, I think. And the government is cutting you checks for hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Sure.
They have a reason to be salty. I think TSA could fucking deal with it. A 49-year-old... Right.
The government will ask you to prove it.
Good point. Christopher Stultz, he's 49 years old. He's from New Hampshire. He pleaded guilty in the U.S. District Court on Thursday to one count of making false statements to the Department of Veteran Affairs. You see, Stultz had been pretending to be needing a wheelchair for the last 20 years or so.
Right.
Okay. That's pretty good. That's a good run. That is a really good run. I shouldn't use the term run for this, though.
How often do we know? I didn't see how, like, this had to be all-consuming, I would think. Like, you would need, for the most part, everyone in your life to believe you were in a wheelchair, right?
Nope. Not Christopher Stultz. In fact, Christopher Stultz got himself a great job. And this is one of the things that I would add will make him a creep. Elementary school teacher.
Yes.
Yeah, creepy. Now, all on his social media, there's pictures of him without a wheelchair, participating in activities with students. In one photo, he's seen standing straight up while dressed in a costume. And another photo, he's seen sitting around with his students during story time. I guess that one's not as incriminating. Now, Stutz claimed in 2003 that he could no longer use his feet. His claim prompted the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs to rate him 100% disabled and increase his money benefits. This guy, in those 20 years, $660,000.
Oh, man. Mike. What I don't understand is, like, so I'm disabled, but if you have a job, maybe this is just a matter of states, like different rules in different states, but in Massachusetts, like, if you have a job that makes you, I think the number is like $85 a month, then you're not eligible for disability. So I assume he was making money from teaching, which is why I don't understand why he was getting so much in government assistance.
Well, I'm guessing because a veteran, he's a vet.
That's basically a thank you. Like, hey, thanks for your service.
I think there's a different set of rules for Veterans Affairs as opposed to just, like, government assistance.
Gotcha.
So
okay.
His deception was revealed when law enforcement officers surveilled him on multiple occasions, walking normally and without the use of his wheelchair. Now, he used a wheelchair while inside a VA medical center in 2021 in Boston, up by you. but after leaving the facility, he stood up and lifted the wheelchair into his car.
He's just running with it over his head. Wee!
He jumped out of it. It's like, oh, there's a ghost in that wheelchair. Look at it go. And then he ran and caught it.
That's also a very fun one for like the police staff or the, you know, whoever's monitoring him to have to call in. Like, yeah, we got a guy in the move. We got 2 feet walking.
2 feet walking might be the name of this episode. Now, not only did they catch him taking the wheelchair and slapping it in the car, they followed him because they were investigating his claim. And he went to the mall after that.
I was going to say he was dancing home from the 600 grand he got from these rubes.
Then he went to dance practice, did a little tap. They watched him perform the chorus line for
Chicago. What I was talking about was like, yeah, if you're in line at the airport and you say you have a disability, like, I don't give a shit. Like the episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm where Larry David pretends he's retarded to cut the line, essentially.
Yeah.
No problem with that. But you also have to realize, like, eventually it's going to come out. Like, someone would catch you. Even there's people that think Stevie Wonder can see because he caught a microphone once. Like, if you're posting pictures of yourself standing and, you know, doing an Irish jig, it's going to come back to haunt you eventually.
That is a good point, but how the fuck did he catch that microphone, Mike?
It is odd. My defense of Stevie Wonder has always been like, there's moments where like, if I knock my phone off the table, I might catch it almost just by accident. Cause you can kind of, but through your other senses, you can feel where it is a little bit. But with Stevie Wonder, the more incriminating thing to me, have you ever heard the Shaquille O'Neal story?
No.
Where Shaquille O'Neal lived in the same building as Stevie Wonder.
Okay.
And he got into the elevator, and Stevie Wonder was in there, and Shaq didn't say anything. And I guess Stevie Wonder goes, "What's up, Big Diesel?" And Shaq was like, "What the f- how did he know it was me?"
I wonder if there was like a towering presence or something, or a basketball.
Yeah, maybe he could just feel there's a 7-foot man in the elevator.
Or a basketball practice smell might also be also part possible. Of the issue. But
yeah,
this guy's... facing 18 months in prison and is ordered to pay back $662,871.77 that he had taken fraudulently. It's not bad.
I think if you do the prison time, they should be like, all right, you got us. Keep the money, but you got to go to jail. You know, it's one of the, you don't get your money back. You got duped.
Yeah. At some point you got to, they're never going to admit they're never going to see it because this money's already gone, right?
Right.
A good chunk of it's already gone. I mean, I know this dude's gainfully employed as a kindergarten teacher, but they're famously underpaid.
Yeah, I don't think he's making 600 grand a year or anything.
Yeah. A male kindergarten teacher is underpaid, and rightfully so. You get to rape our children and get a big paycheck, please.
I was going to say, a male kindergarten teacher, this might be the least of this guy's troubles.
Absolutely.
Just start looking into him.
I'm going to talk today about cheating, because I don't like cheaters. But this guy I kind of do like. I'm going to tell you about a story that happened in India. A guy the name of Angrez Singh. He's 25 years old, dressed up as a woman, and pretended to be his girlfriend, Paramit Kaur, to attend a recruitment examination for college on her behalf. The exam was being conducted at a university, and he showed up in red bangles, lipstick, a lady's outfit. The first hour of the examination went very smooth, Mike. Everything's good.
This is just good old-fashioned 90s comedy. It's Juana Man or any of these. You know what I mean? Like, there's been a million movies about this.
So Juana Go to College. It's the sequel.
Yes.
University officials quickly caught wind of the charade after they grew suspicious about his attire. They're like, those shoes don't match. That
or he did too well on these tests.
Oh, shit. Now we're judging. Now we're judging the smarts of women. Obama made that illegal. Made man scores and women scores illegal in 2007.
Some lady's not testing this high. What's going on here?
Huh. You got 90% on this test? This cannot be. This cannot be. We're going to have to drag him outside and beat him.
This test was not about cooking and cleaning. I don't understand how he did so well. She, rather.
Yeah, I have a feeling this person, when they caught him, was like, I'm not trans. I'm not trans. I swear I'm not trans. This is a con. This is a con. Because they would have dragged this motherfucker out and beat him to death. Okay. Angra Singh went through an all-out effort. He utilized a fake voter card to prove he was his girlfriend with his picture in drag on it. So he got a...
Smart?
Yes. He went the whole way with this thing. And it seemed foolproof until he realized that they had fingerprint readers there.
That's where. So when I was reading this article, I was like, how many levels of security did they have? Because they're checking his ID. He's already taken the test. That's why I didn't understand how it got this far into the process. And then they're taking his fingerprint.
I just assumed that they didn't believe him. Right. And they're like, nah, you got to do your come here. Fingerprint. Now, here's my issue. This woman wants to get into college. Okay? What do you need 10 fingers for? Okay? What do you need 10 fingers for?
Swiping her severed finger?
Yeah. I mean, you really want to get in? You want man scores and you want to get in, honey? Let's go the full way with this. Now,
what was the reason she couldn't take the test?
I don't want to say girl scores, but I want to say girl scores. I don't know. She might be stupid or something. Who knows? She could be completely dumb, and he's just like, don't worry, I got it. Which wouldn't be the first time a smart kid helped a dumb woman cheat, right?
Damn straight.
Yeah, won't be the last either.
Taylor's oldest time.
Mike, there's something I say on the show all the time, and I truly believe it from the bottom of my heart. Mike, there is no justice like mob justice. You know that?
It's true. I suppose.
I'm telling you, there's no justice like it because they cut through the red tape of the court system and they get right down to business. And that's what happened at a place called the Dumba Village near Brightbridge. I believe this is somewhere in South America. A man was kidnapped and tortured to death by his fellow villagers because he was caught stealing a neighbor's donkey.
Yeah, don't say a man. Don't humanize this piece of shit. He's a donkey thief. Say it like it is.
He's an ass bandit.
Donkey thief. The way they phrased it in the headline, like donkey thief, which does sound like a racial slur. Like, yeah, we got a couple of donkey thieves coming up to us.
Oh, man. Watch the tip jar. There's donkey thieves.
Oh, this place is lousy with donkey thieves.
Oh, no. You know, this neighborhood's really gone downhill since the donkey thieves moved in.
Since the donkey thieves came riding in here.
The house next door to me was bought by donkey thieves. A police report indicated that Austin Sabandas, 25 years old, this happened on January 8th, was beaten with a hammer, had his private parts pinched with pliers, and was whipped with switches, inflicting deadly wounds all over his body. And to top it off, at the end of it, after they were done pinching his prick, beating him with a hammer, and hitting him with sticks, they took a scorpion and threw it down his shirt.
Just in case he didn't get the message.
Just in case. Just in case you ever thought about doing this again, here's one for the road.
This group really makes like John Wick look like a pussy. You know, like they took care of it when their fucking pet was fucked with.
Now, not only did they do the entire job of the legal system, judge, juries, executioners, they then decided, you know what, we're going to give him to the legal system anyway. So they took this beaten shell of a man with a scorpion in his shirt to the police station and they left him there. Guess what the police did?
What's that?
They put him in a cell for 2 days. Didn't get him any medical attention. 2 days after that, they called his family. And were like, hey, you want to get this guy some medical attention?
Yeah, they kept saying, like, he's telling his grandmother he's innocent. But, like, what else is he going to say? You know, he's a dirty donkey thief.
I mean, yeah, I've never met a donkey thief who can tell you the truth.
That's right.
You ever met an honest donkey thief, people?
I do that. This is where I think other countries kind of have it right. Like, you got to be sure. I'll grant you that. You got to be 100% sure you've got the guy. But, you know, take care of him yourself, rough him up, and then bring him in for us to deal with, you know?
Well, I find it interesting that when he got there, the cops weren't, hey, let's get him some medical attention and take the names of the people who beat him or something.
No.
This police department has no record of any of that stuff. All they have is him booked into jail as a donkey thief. The family is fucking livid. And he did. He was calling his grandma before he died going, I didn't do anything. And then he gave the names. This guy not only was a donkey thief, he was a stool
rat.
Pigeon. It's a goddamn stoolie.
Filthy rat.
Oh, man. So either way, this guy is dead. And don't steal donkeys is the lesson today.
Did they get their donkey back? I was never clear on that.
I hope so.
Like, did they find the donkey?
No donkey, no peace. That's what I say.
Because if there's no donkey, then there's no evidence. That guy's then. Then you just gotta feel bad for the guy.
Wrong. The only evidence is the donkey's gone. So
that's fair. Yeah, someone stole it. So
it must have been him. Joe Dicker, thanks for the $5 Canadian. A couple of donkey thieves just stole my trunk. My truck. I said truck. I suck.
Hey, I got it.
A couple donkey thieves stole my truck. Let's go back to, let's go over to England, I believe, Liverpool, and okay. Talk about a 61-year-old gentleman by the name of Andrew McInnes. Now, Andrew McInnes is a pensioner, and he's had a rough go lately, and he's taken up to doing a lot of cocaine.
Ah, yes.
He's taken up cocaine as a hobby, which, you know, I think everybody needs a hobby, especially when you're retired. And
Certainly. The
problem is, though, he's also taken up masturbating at his window while watching people through binoculars.
Yeah, this is again where I think the headline leads you astray, where they made it feel like this was an act centered around the cocaine. I don't know if cocaine makes you do this. I think this was inside of this man already.
Yeah,
and the cocaine just enhanced it.
Guys, I fucked up. I had the wrong info here. His name is David Jones.
Oh, when you were setting it up, I was like, this one doesn't sound familiar.
Yes, it's David Jones, and I apologize. Okay. David Jones from the Monkees does a lot of coke and jerks off looking out windows, even though he's dead now. Now, the first occasion they saw Mr. Jones, he stood on the ground floor with the blinds up and a light on, performing a sex act in view of the window while fully naked. He did this while watching the complaint through a pair of binoculars, snapping photos of the victim on his phone.
He's taking photos of the victim.
Yeah, which
that's a ballsy move.
I don't know, is it like that, if that's a Kodak moment or not, but the look on her face probably was pretty funny. Like
he must really crank it to that. Like, look how outraged she is.
You know, I always think, and I told my wife this, if you're ever in a situation where a guy like flashes you or something like that, sure, happens, the best defense is to point and laugh.
I suppose, but does that enrage? What if it's a violent guy?
Yeah, I know. I'm afraid of my wife, but I'm hoping that person won't be. I'll teach her.
You know what you should do is yell, I bet you won't do anything about it.
Point, laugh, said, what are you going to do about it?
You're a pussy like your mother always said.
God damn it. Now, his lawyer, I have to say, his lawyer is working very hard, Michael. His lawyer is working very hard. Okay. He is saying, this is his case. This man, Davy Jones, had led a blameless life for 27 years. His wife became ill just before the pandemic. As a consequence of her illness, she lost her job. The defendant was working 10 hours a day, he says, at the Jacobs Biscuit Factory. I don't know if I want this guy jerking off around biscuits.
No, I don't care for the creamy drizzle that comes with those.
There's a... As long as he doesn't work at the Oreo Factory. He was working as a laborer, working 7 days a week, trying to keep his finances afloat. He was offered cocaine, and it was the worst thing he had ever done. He became addicted to that cocaine, Your Honor, and he believes that was the dishibulator and the way that he acted. This is what made him feel like what he was doing was fine. It was the coke. It seems following his sentence, though, his wife allowed him to stay at their address. He was continuing to use cocaine. He was addicted. His wife found out. She told him that the relationship was over and left the property. So now he's there by himself. He's horny as fuck.
Something's missing here. Something's missing here. She's sick. He starts doing coke, and she's like, okay, I'm leaving you?
Yeah.
I think there's an element of the story that maybe the lawyer is leaving out. Like, he was constantly jerking off in people's windows, and she asked him to please stop.
I'm not going to lie. I think this is probably about right. She's dealing with an illness, and this motherfucker is just doing cocaine. That's not going to be helpful.
I guess so. But like I said, like I think it is a lawyer's spin to be like, well, he's a coke addict. I don't think coke just makes you do this. I think it's a kink. There's something inside of you that's coming out. Now, I've never done coke, so maybe I'm wrong. But it feels like a leap that suddenly you just be jerking off in windows because you're on blow.
Well, he's not going to other people's windows. He's just standing in his living room doing it.
Well, you know what I mean.
Sure, sure. I mean, there's definitely a step between doing it at your house and doing it at other people's. I will say that.
I suppose that is a leap if he's going outside and knocking on the window.
He's just yelling out the window, hey, look up here!
Well, you know what? I take it back because now I'm thinking, like, there is an element to, like, don't look in this guy's window. He's jerking off, you know?
I mean, it is my window, after all.
Right. I'll jerk it where I want.
Technically, when you have your open window, it is public, though, I think. I think that's what they consider. You're masturbating into public.
Then we got to change the laws, gang. Who's with me?
I'm going to... Let's go to City Hall! Lead the way, buddy.
Is this guy leading us as we march in?
Yeah, he's definitely raising a baton. You know, I'm going to give this guy a lot of credit for, you know, getting it up with fucking doing coke. Sometimes it's a problem.
Well, that's the other thing. Coke dick is a notorious thing, right? Like, you usually can't get hard.
Yeah. So is walking by David Jones's window. It's also notorious these days. Cheer up, Sleepy Gene. Now, he has been sentenced and he's receiving a 12-month jail sentence and handed a 5-year restraining order. So he is not allowed to jerk off at his window at this poor woman anymore.
It's so disappointing.
Yeah, well.
Do you think, like, in the rom-com version of this, there's sometimes where she's walking by the window and like, is he home?
This is not a meet cute scenario, Mike.
You don't think so?
It's not going to be a meet cute. There was something about
the way for these kids.
There was something about the redness of his eyes as he jerked it while taking photos of me. I mean,
it's like I got to be honest. I kind of miss it. I look up longingly at the window, and I think I wish there was a hard pecker being cranked.
I hear the birds chirping, but is it the same without the helicopter flesh sound coming from that window without hearing? Just isn't the same. Doesn't feel like spring. All right, kids. Is there a better way to tell someone you love them than to have a child with them?
Well, I suppose.
There is. Keeping your mouth shut about it. St. Paul, Indiana, a 22-year-old man was charged with child molestation after his 14-year-old girlfriend reportedly gave birth to his daughter, Mike.
I don't care for that phrasing, his 14-year-old girlfriend. They were going steady.
They were, and the mother should be arrested.
I'm sure you'll get there, but I like where the mother's like kind of annoyed. Like she never, like it's a, you know, a rom-com where this guy goes home to meet the parents, and she's like, well, he doesn't quite fit in with us.
I would rather she pick up a donkey thief than this boy.
That's right.
All right. Court documents detail the Department of Child Service investigation began at the hospital when the underage victim had just given birth to a child. This happened in Shelbyville, just in case you were wondering. This is a real Shelbyville kind of problem. The police responded to question both the victim, the victim's mother, and the presumed father of the newborn. The man accused of molesting the teen was identified as Stephen T. Hamilton Jr. Hamilton told police that he knew why he was speaking with them because of his age. He added that he considered...
You're calling about that whole thing?
Listen,
where I impregnated a 14-year-old?
Everybody's hung up on age these days. Older, younger. Winter, spring, who fucking cares? I know a guy who doesn't. Hamilton told police that he knew why he was speaking with them because of his age. He added that he considered him and the victim boyfriend and girlfriend. According to the probable cause, Hamilton had been dating the underage victim for nearly 2 years. He told investigators they met through mutual friends when he turned 20 years old.
I'm going to give this guy a little credit, because you don't hear about like Jerry Sandusky whining and dining his victims, you know? He's just banging them in the shower. This guy, he's a romantic. Oh, like, he found one he liked, and he made a life with her.
Jerry Sandusky's a real man, Mike. According to the probable cause, again, they've been dating for nearly 2 years. She's 14 now.
Yeah.
That means she was 12. And he was 20, and he was like, I see a future with you. I like crayons, too. What the
did you see
fuck?
Did you see the part where it's kind of this little hussy's fault? Because she was 12, but she lied about her age and told him she was 16. Hmm. Which is not a great defense. Like, oh, yeah, she was underage, but, like, barely. I thought.
Here you go, Mike. I'll play this for you. Blame it on the
victim. Victim.
Yeah, it's the victim's fault. Said she was 16. When she finally told him the truth, they continued dating, though. Hamilton said, due to the age gap, they did go out in public and enjoyed spending time with each other.
Well, the old stigma of dating a 12-year-old.
Are you fucking? Hamilton added that the teen's family didn't like the relationship or him. He said he spoke with the teen's mom so she wouldn't think him to be a pedophile and an abuser.
It's not, pedophile is not a state of mind. It's not like you can be like, you know what? I thought he was a pedophile at first, but he's a really nice guy banging my 12-year-old daughter.
They met in Walmart when she was buying a phone.
How does that happen?
She was in there with her other friends, and I guess they knew him, and she was 12.
Oh, that's the other thing I wanted to ask you, is they said through a mutual friend they met, which what 20-year-old is like, hey, you got to meet this 12-year-old. She's
a pedophile. The answer is a pedophile.
No, he's not a pedophile, damn it. You heard him.
Why? Because he talked to this bitch's mom?
He's a regular guy who met the parents first.
I can picture this asshole showing up with like fucking kids' Valentine's Day candy and flowers. Ooh,
be mine.
Powerpuff Girl chocolates. Those are nice. Either way, they're going to have to figure out how to make all this work because they have to raise a kid together now. He was charged.
I don't know. He may lose visitation rights. I'm worried.
He was charged with child molesting, level 1 felony, child molesting, level 3 felony, sexual misconduct with minor, level 5 felony, and child exploitation, level 5 felony. And he's also guilty of loving just a little too much. An initial hearing was scheduled for January 17th. Now, Mike, let's go over to Michigan, shall we? And what I like to call the most bonkers story of the day, in my opinion. This might be the craziest defense I've ever heard, and I can't tell from this article if the cops are going for this or not. There's an 87-year-old man in Michigan who's dead, okay?
Yes.
Authorities are saying...
Oh, yeah, this one I didn't even fully understand this.
Okay, I'll explain it then. I gotcha.
Okay.
I'm just glad you read it. I'm so used to Carl. authorities say... This guy was killed by his 20-year-old grandson and his 50-year-old daughter-in-law, both of whom allegedly went on to make such bizarre claims to the authorities, had to include, quote, evidence of paranormal activities in a search warrant.
Right. So they were on meth when they were questioned by the police, I assume.
Well, Mike, damn it.
Let's talk about meth, baby. Let's talk about it, yes, sirree. Let's talk about all the bad things and the bad things meth heads see. Let's talk about meth.
Jacob and Margaret Kempian are both facing one count each of open murder and conspiracy to commit homicide and a fatal shooting of Alvin Kepperman, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Authorities said that the mother and son live in Wisconsin. They traveled to Michigan, where they allegedly killed Alvin. They were arrested in Iowa. Jacob also has an apartment in Minneapolis where he attends college. Now, they found the body after responding to a wellness check at the house. Upon arriving at the address, first responders said they found Alvin suffering from an apparent gunshot wound to the head. He's pronounced dead at the scene. Investigators were quick to identify Margaret and Jacob as potential suspects. They were reported locally still in Minnesota, driving south on Interstate 35 towards Iowa. They were intercepted by other cops. They were arrested at a gas station. So, according to the report, they executed the search warrant. And the father, I'm sorry, guys, this article is really fucking confusing, and I thought I nailed this. When they got arrested, they told police that her son was the one who killed Alvin Kepperman, but both suspects reportedly made numerous outlandish claims about the circumstances of the shooting. Now, Jacob says that when they arrived at Alvin Kepperman's home, they believed that the 87-year-old had already been dead and been killed by evil ghosts.
Ooh.
So when they got there, the man that they shot was already dead, and this was an evil monster ghost that was inside of Grandpa. And Grandpa said that when they got there, Jacob advised that the spirits stated Grandpa opened the well up behind the house and that the spirits killed him. So, like, oh no, Grandpa opened up the old well and now the demons killed him, and now they've taken over his body and they're going to kill us. So the mom goes, yeah, and he was jumping around the house and moving around like a 20-year-old. He's 87. So they're saying that he's, like, climbing the walls and doing parkour.
We had to kill him. He was mobile.
Sounds like the demons gave him the magic cure. He's fucking Grandpa Joe from Willy Wonka. I got a golden ticket. Pow! Now, they both said that this was their story. This guy was taken over by a demon, dancing around, singing, dancing, being happy, moving around the house, and they were scared, so they shot him. The father of Jacob, the son of Alvin, the husband of Margaret, is like, these two are assholes, and they were going there to get money from him.
Right. Which is what anyone reading this article would think, right? Like, that's the part I didn't understand, is like, are the police believing the paranormal activity thing? Like, why? Or is it just a hilarious excuse that they're using?
Well, their lawyer is saying this, and they were told, the police were told during the searching of the house that they were to take anything that could be used as evidence of paranormal activity, spirits, possession of bodies, including but not limited to copies of the 2015 movie The Visit, for some reason. Fucking M. Night Shyamalan got dragged into this shit. Now, they're being held in jail without bond, and they're both being undergoing competency evaluations. Now, I think this is just their story that they made up because, in a way, there's no way they're going to be able to prove it.
Right. It seems like a story, like in a sitcom episode, where it's like, okay, we murdered Grandpa. How do we get out of this? We'll say it was aliens. And then, like, somehow, like, they get people to believe their story or something.
Yes.
But in real life, it's not going to work, or I wouldn't think it would.
Correct. Absolutely correct. This should not work. But what I think is happening here, and the brilliance of this could be, what if you get the two stupid ghost-loving idiots on a jury?
I guess so. Yeah. That's all you need, right?
All you need,
I guess.
All you need to do is act like you believe it, and people will believe you, man. It's insane.
Yeah, I just don't know why that shouldn't be allowed to be brought into court, because they still, it's not a plea of insanity. It's not like we have something in the judicial system that says, like, well, if aliens tell you to do it, that's a different issue.
Right.
Like, the guy's still fucking dead, and someone killed him.
So, you have the right to a defense, right? You get arrested, and you say to the cops, Grandpa is filled with demons, and I had to shoot him in the head, or he was going to kill us. He was dancing around.
Yeah.
The cops, when you go to trial, they're going to put the cops on the stand and say, what did they say happened? And now the cops have to sit there and say, well, they said this happened, and it just introduces the whole fucking thing.
I suppose, yeah.
This is, I would love, listen, man, Jacob, Margaret, call me. I will represent you. I will represent you.
Oh, you're in on this. You're a big alien guy.
It's not aliens. This is demons and ghosts.
I'm sorry. How silly of me. How foolish.
They're very different. No, I just want to try to gaslight a jury. I think it'd be really fun to do this.
That would be fun. That I'm on board for, yeah.
Yeah. It would just be fun. You could be one of the lawyers, too. We'll put on suits, and we'll go in there and we'll represent them.
All right, now I'm in. You've sold me. I'm pretty easy.
Yeah, it's just a suit and fun. That's all it is. It's a fun afternoon. It's like, how far do you think we're going to get?
We're real lawyers.
We'll get Nick Riccata to deputize us or something. That'll work.
Excellent. All right. I'm in. I was a skeptic at first, but I'm in now.
You can call me Vinny the good lawyer. Now, let's keep on moving, shall we? We're going to go back across the pond. We're going to meet a woman named Shannon Driver, who's 27 years old. And boy, she's a mother. She has one young son, but she's not allowed to see him anymore, Mike. She's been ordered to not be left alone with any children after a terrifying incident, which had her threatening to throw her child out of a window.
Yeah, that felt harsh. Are people not allowed to change? You know, you have one incident where you almost throw a kid out the fucking window.
You know,
Michael Jackson could be around kids again, you know?
There's a reason why you put the fence, you know, a couple feet away from the cliff, the edge of the cliff. Just in case somebody falls over, there's a problem.
Right.
Don't leave her alone with kids. Let her around kids. Don't leave her alone with them.
There you go.
But
that's
guess
fine.
Who?
I'm
guess,
all right with it.
Guess who wasn't listening? Her new boyfriend, who happens to have an 18-month-year-old little baby named Jackson.
Okay.
That's who's not listening to the judge. He had to go to work, and he needed someone to watch little Jackson. And obviously, he's fucking Shannon, and she's there. Boy, does she love kids. Yeah. She's looking for a second chance.
Well, I mean, Shannon wanted to kill her own kids, not someone else's, right?
That's a good point. That's a good point. You're allowed to do whatever you want to with your property. Now,
yeah, that's right.
On September 18th of 2020, right? Police were scrambled to Jackson's home in Bexhill, East Sussex, found reports that a child was seriously injured. Driver claimed that the tot had slipped in the shower when asked by what happened with the officers. Now, the parents were forced to make an agonizing decision because this kid ended up on life support for days. And they ended up having to take him off, and the baby died. But the postmortem found that Jackson suffered significantly non-accident-related injuries that suggested someone inflicted trauma on this child, that the baby was violently shook and gripped tightly around the chest while being shaken, swung around, and thrown and slammed down on a hard surface.
Well, if the baby was acting up, like, how else do you get it to shut the fuck up?
You don't do fucking bam-bam with the thing. You don't just take it and slap it around.
I've never heard anything. I thought that's how you're supposed to do, shake the baby. I've never heard anything to contradict that.
That's true. I haven't seen that on a billboard. No, wait. Maybe I did. Wait a second. I think it said never shake a baby, Mike.
That's what a great Jim Jefferies joke is when he has a kid, and he's talking about you have to read this book. It's called Don't Shake the Baby. And he goes, I think the title was enough. Like, who's reading that title and thinking, there must be more to this?
It's a good point. It's a good point. Not one that's going to make it be a real page turner, I don't think.
Right.
That is the one case where you can judge a book by its cover, folks. So she is going to be sentenced on March 27th, but she has been found guilty of this child's murder. Fuck her. If a court has ordered someone not to be around children, there's a fucking reason for it. Don't leave your kids with them. Don't care how good the pussy is. That's right. Your lesson, kids.
Yeah. My producer, Craig, deals with the same thing. And he's had to stay away from kids. But you have to make a conscious effort when people put those restrictions on you. Like, he takes it very seriously. And he's constantly aware. He always tells me, ooh, there might be kids in this neighborhood. He gets very excited. We can't go to those neighborhoods because there's a deal in place.
Yeah. It's a deal in place. All right. Amanda Davidson, thank you for the $50. Super chats from Amanda. Got to hop to a meeting. Thanks to this duo, Vinny and Mike, for the Mike Warnke story via Blind Mike Project. It was really a banger. Agreed.
Oh, yeah. The Creep-Off fans, you would enjoy. Go check that out. Vinny was on Why Are You Laughing a few months ago, and we talked about Mike Warnke, who is quite a character.
Creep. He's a real creep.
Yeah.
He looks like a wet warthog, that guy. He's just the ugliest, sweatiest ball of charisma I've ever seen, that fucking Mike Warnke.
I think on that episode, Craig said if Busch Light was a person or something like that, which I thought was a pretty good description.
Agreed. Agreed. He had a mullet that just looked soft. Like, it looked like if you took, like, you couldn't see the individual hairs. It looked like if you took the, you know, the pillowcase off of, like, a couch cushion or a couch pillow that's just all a big ball of fluff.
Right. Oh, yeah, oh, interesting. Yeah, that's a good description.
Just really shitty. Comb it. Let's go to California.
What a hilarious guy.
Hey, guys, did you know that there's no such thing as justice in California? Are you aware of this, Mike?
Why is that?
Well, a California woman who stabbed a man she was dating 100 times and killed him before turning the knife on herself and her dog has been handed 100 hours of community service.
This one, actually, like, this one I heard about, like, last week. I think this actually made big news.
Bryn Spector, 33, was given the astonishingly low sentence following psychiatrist's ruling that the tragedy was, quote, 100% caused by cannabis-induced psychosis.
How could it be 100? Is anything 100% anything? Like, that's wild to say 100% of it was caused by weed.
Yeah. They're saying that this happened. She stabbed this guy 100 times. She stabbed the dog. She stabbed herself because of weed.
Yeah.
She took 2 hits off of the victim's bong. The judge ruled that Spector's experienced a psychotic break from reality and had no control over her actions when she killed Chad O'Melia, then 26, on Memorial Day weekend.
It's also surprising in California, where that's been a staple. Like, medical marijuana has been legal in California for so long that, like, there's no precedence to suggest that this would be caused by weed. Other drug, but it's again where it's like we're putting it on the drugs now. The same with the coke thing, where it's like, what would make, why, what other evidence is there that this, the drugs are making this, them do this?
Mike, I'm just going to point out the obvious here. If you told me this woman did this because of coke, I would believe you.
More than,
you cannot tell me
cannabis.
Yes. Now, listen to this shit. She's got to spend 100 hours educating others on marijuana-induced psychosis and 2 years of probation, but has promised to spend the rest of her life debunking the myth that cannabis is harmless.
This, oh, good. Okay, so this is basically like an anti-weed judge? That
this
was
is
just like
reefer fucking madness propaganda is what we have here.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
They're going to make her be the minister of reefer propaganda.
No more the days where you can argue you'll just sit on the couch and eat Funyuns. It's a killer's drug.
She said she felt pressured by O'Melia, who was a regular smoker, who she'd been dating for a month. Within minutes inhaling the potent cannabis-infused vapor for the second time, she began hearing and seeing things that weren't there. Lay into it, honey.
Okay.
Just
it wasn't weed then.
Right. She was believing that she was dead and that she had to stab O'Malley in order to bring herself back to life. Oh, so it's a you versus me situation here. You need to...
Were they even able to prove she was high?
I mean, they probably did a blood test.
I get how long does that... a blood test? I guess it's longer, right? I was going to say, how long does that stay in your system?
Well, top forensic psychiatrist concluded that this experience was 100%, again, consistent with a previous account of cannabis-induced psychosis. Dr. Timothy Fong said, we know pretty conclusively that marijuana can lead to psychiatric illness.
Are there other cases of that?
I guess. I knew it was a gateway drug, but I didn't know it was the gateway to fucking this.
The gateway to murder.
The gateway to fucking your death. I mean, we can't.
Gateway to Murder would have been a great, like, DARE program title for like a video they showed in school or something.
Yeah, that's what this girl's 100 hours are going to be. Don't ever smoke weed. It'll make you stab your dog.
You will lose your shit.
I really hate that she goes, she felt pressured by this guy. It's, again, we're victim blaming here.
Baby, you're dead. I'ma blame it all on you. You.
That's fucked up.
It's also, it's very 1980s to be like, hey, you want this joint? Not really. What are you, a pussy? And then they take it and murder somebody.
Like, I hate this woman. I really dislike this whole thing. Her father told the courtroom that his daughter had spent her time on probation volunteering at her local pet store and learning sign. She's playing with puppies. She stabbed a dog. She already murdered one dog. And now this fucking guy's dead. He's stabbed 100 times and she gets to play with puppies, Mike. Her consequences.
Yeah, but not while she's high, Vinny. What aren't you getting about this? It was the drugs.
Little puppy breath is a drug, Mike. Little puppies. Little puppies are a
drug. But that's enough intoxication for her now.
Yeah. Listen to this quote. I wish I had known more about the dangers of marijuana. Had I known, I would never have smoked it that night or at all. And
thank God weed makes me sleep, or God knows what I'd be doing.
And there's your lesson, kids. All right, last story of the Scum Parade before we do our special surprise category for today's episode. A gentleman in London, I believe, named Reginald Allen Roach bled to death despite frantic efforts to save his life. The 63-year-old had a history of mental illness and was discovered by a retired nurse as she walked her collie. She said she's walking past the field and she sees a hump in the grass where it turned out to be the man in a recovery position. Now, Mr. Roach has had some issues in the past. He had been wanted on a police warrant. And part of the problem is that there was some sexual assault allegations. His dick was getting him in trouble. So basically what happened was there's a warrant out for his arrest. He went out to a field and he decided, you know what? I don't need this dick anymore.
I'm sick of this thing.
This thing has gotten me nothing but trouble. And I'm not going to take it anymore. Who's in charge of who here, Mr. Penis? And that's when he chopped off his own dick and had a heart attack. And this fucking lady's walking by with her collie, and she finds this fucking guy clutching his chest with a dick in his hand, just laying on the ground, convulsing. And unfortunately, they weren't able to save him. So here's the lesson, kids. You can say no. You don't need to chop it off. Have just some self-control. You don't need to take it to this level.
Maybe they were also trans, though, you know?
Well, he didn't start a new life with this decision. Didn't work out.
I just like the idea that if you went back to that park or wherever the hell he was and chopped your penis off and then had a heart attack and bled out, someone would be like, oh, this again. Like, it's fun that happened somewhere, you know?
Saw this show already. You know,
yeah.
I feel bad for that poor collie because I don't feel bad for the collie. I feel bad for the nurse. She sees this poor guy, tries to help him. The collie grabs the dick, runs off with it. Now you got a lost dog and a dead man you got to deal with. It's a bad day for everybody. It's a bad day for everybody.
I wonder, like, what led to that? Because that guy literally, clearly the guy thought, like, hey, my penis is the root of all my problems. I wonder if that's because of, like, the way the media's been for the last 10 years. Just being like, yeah, men suck. And he was like, you know what? You're right. We do. Let me get rid of this pesky thing.
You know what? This guy is a go-getter in a way, isn't he?
Yeah.
I'm telling you not to do this. He looked at this and he thought to himself, you know what? I have a problem and I need to be the one to fix it. No one else could fix it for me. Forget everything
I
said.
Nip this in the bud.
Yeah. Forget what I said. Go ahead. Chop it off. I don't care. It's fine. Whatever you need to do. That is our Scum Parade today, Mike. Did you have fun on the Scum Parade?
I did. It was a real treat. Thank you for having me.
You're the first person who ever said that, but thank you.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
We're demented people. Now, I promised everybody a special category today, and Mike and I picked it. It's very simple. Today's competition will begin now. Carl has the bell on his board. I cannot ring it. But the category is creepiest podcast co-host. Dig, 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 dig. Should we both say it on the count of three?
Sure.
1, 2, 3, Carl.
Carl from WATP.
Yes.
Well, I consider him Carl from WATS, actually.
Yeah. Go ahead. Tell, why is Carl your creep today?
Oh, well, to me, mostly the videos that I've seen recently where he has tricked the elderly into marrying him and seems to bully them. Like, he's like, hey, start the grill for me, all that kind of stuff. It's elder abuse seems to be what he's doing. Yeah. And he's obviously got some sort of geriatric fetish. Like, I was about to say it unironically, he's a creep. Like, the behavior I've seen, and Stuttering John's 100% right. Like, when he celebrates, Carl is done due to his perversions that have been exposed over the last week.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to make my nomination. I nominate Craig as the creepiest podcast co-host.
That's honestly a much better
I'm just choice. Fucking around. It's Carl. You could vote for Carl at the Creep Off this week. You could vote for Vinny with Carl. You could vote with Mike with Carl. But if you vote for Vinny with Carl, Carl gets the spin when he comes back. Isn't that a fun treat for him? Oh, I'm just fucking around.
I also did half-ass my sell of that so that Vinny would win. So make sure, even team, if you're team Mike, vote for Vinny.
Oh, shit. That's fucked up. Now, before we get out of here, we got some voicemails from last week. You want to hit up some voicemails with me, Mike?
I'd love to.
All right.
The Creep Off voicemail segment is brought to you by the city of Syracuse. Our heart goes out to the Lions fans after blowing it going ahead 17. Later, though, they swore to everyone they thought the lead was at least 18. You won't be in Vegas, but we hope to see you in Syracuse.
All right. Now, this one came in from our boy Brian from Detroit, who's probably having a bad day.
Vinny, Brian from Detroit. Hey, buddy. I really, really, really fucking hope you guys do a bonus episode on the new Vince McMahon stuff. It's fucking so great. So read up on it, man. Please do a bonus episode. I cannot fucking wait to hear what you feel those could come up with. You guys are the best. Thanks, buddy. Bye.
You better fucking bet your ass I'm doing a bonus episode about that. Have you heard this stuff, Mike?
Yeah, we were talking about it on Kirk Minahan show earlier today. But is this... as a WWE fan, are you sort of in Vince McMahon's pocket?
It makes me like him more.
Honest about this?
It makes me like him more. No.
Good.
No. I love Vince because Vince is... this has just proven Vince is exactly who I think Vince is.
Yeah, that was my point, is that it does seem very Vince McMahon. Like, I can kind of see it.
You know, if you go back, and we talked about it when we inducted him into the Creep Off Hall of Fame. He's already a member. So, like,
I was going to ask if this makes him. I didn't realize he already was.
Oh, he's already in. This is a revisit that we're going to do on Vince. We're going to talk about the dildo collection named after wrestlers that he used on this poor girl.
Yep, that got brought up today. That was new information that I learned.
Yeah, he's got, and folks, here's the news flash. He named them after wrestlers. Each one had a name, and the name was based on the skin color of the dildo.
Yes.
Here comes Farouk. Oh, Mark Henry. Oh, shit. This one's pink and gay. It's Shawn Michaels. All right, let's keep moving. Someone who wants to talk about why Carl likes football.
Carl likes football because he thinks about brown balls in his face all day long. Vote for Vinny. Don't call me back.
Thank you, sir. Good points.
Yeah. He told me that once, Carl.
He's like, you know, I was listening to the show. I was going to read all these stories, but I just can't stop thinking about brown balls, is what he said.
That's right. Yeah.
All right.
Hello. This is a call for Tubby and Clubby's criminal consulting business. I'm looking for your advice. I'm planning a heist. I want to get some input from experts like you over the Creep Off so I can do this right. I'm trying to steal an 11-year-old iPad mini and around $190. From a 400-square-foot apartment, guarded by a 58-year-old buffoon and two malnourished cats. I've got a team of roaches already on the inside working for me, and I'm planning to bribe the door guard with a case of O'Doul's. Thank you in advance. Any advice is appreciated. Thank you, fuck you, bye.
Now, I want to correct you, sir. It is not called Tubby and Clubby's Criminal Consulting Business. It's Teef and Tits. That's the name of it. Teef and Tits.
I like Tubby and Clubby business. A little better, though.
Okay, that's fine. I feel like that's too cute.
That's true. It doesn't present the badass image you guys are going for,
yeah.
I guess.
Teef and Tits sound like, fuck yeah. Who are you going to call? Clubby and Tubby? You're going to call Teef and Tits?
That's that. You know what? Yeah, I forgot the mission of the duo. So yeah, you're right. I think that's the better choice.
Carl's in marketing. We got to give him the best name to work with.
That's right.
Well, he's back in marketing now since he was run off the internet horribly. You people are monsters. He's a human being.
Podcasting reign is over.
Oh, shit. Okay. Here's my advice, sir. Leave the iPad. Leave the money. The roaches aren't... The roaches, just let them take it. Just let them have the place. You don't need to get involved. It's a mess.
It's not worth it.
It's not worth it.
All right, guys. This show's all about voting for creeps. It's an election year. Here's what I'd like to see. Let's get some fucking creep off I voted stickers in the store in time for the fucking election. Like the creep off logo and it says I voted, or, you know, which creep did you vote for? Like, I think that'd be some good fucking advertisements, some stickers and bumper stickers and shit. And since I'm so magnanimous, maybe a couple freebies thrown my way for the idea. 45 seconds, boom.
Oh, I'm definitely going to do that. You ain't getting shit. Just kidding. We'll send you one, pal. Don't let me forget. When you see us market these in about a month, don't let me forget. I'll send you some. That's a great idea. That's a creep idea. Off I voted like stickers. That's
are
awesome.
People using stickers nowadays, though? That's the only question you got to ask.
Well, Mike, I don't know if you noticed, there's a bunch on your back.
Oh, no. So people have been kicking me all day?
Yeah. People have been sapping on you for years at this point. All right, the Podcast Prophet's calling in.
Hey, it's the Podcast Prophet. Holy Spirit speaking through me. Jason Kelce, I believe, is Travis Kelce's brother at the game. I did watch. Fuck you, Carl. And ha ha. But the fucking douchebag, like, you guys talking about the Taylor Swift rub. I think the fucking guy's trying to, like, rip off Bert Kreischer. Like, that's Bert's thing, is, like, the beer in the hand, shirt off. Ah, party guy! This fucking asshole.
True.
Fucking, like, suck my dick. Thank you, fuck you, bye.
Actually, not a bad point. He is trying to be the new Bert on account of the old Bert slipping.
Ripping off the machine, yeah. That's
well,
true.
You know, new Bert's all fucking doing testosterone. He's getting all jacked. He's trying to be like...
Running 5Ks, yeah.
Yeah, with Florentine. Can he laugh?
We talked about him a couple weeks ago on my show because, like, a lot of his Instagram posts are very influencer-y now. Like, you know... Rather than being comedy first, it's almost like he'll slip comedy into a, you know, power of motivation type video.
Yeah, it's great. He'll give you a lecture before he sits there and giggles about eating peanut butter. Fucking great, Bert. Fucking annoying.
I don't know why you guys hate him so much, but
I liked the machine the first time I saw it. Like the first time I saw him tell the story.
Yeah, I don't know. I find his stand-up to be, like, fine. I think he's okay on podcast. I know his laugh annoys people, but, like, outside of that, I don't think he's bad on podcasts.
He's going to work forever because he's taking care of the right people. He's doing a lot of good things for a lot of people, so I'll give him that.
Carl, Vinny, Simon calling back in. I don't actually edge to you guys. I was just trying to think of the creepiest thing to send to the voicemail.
Thank you.
I figured that would work. And also, unfortunately, I would love to be honored to come on the show on a Monday, but unfortunately, I work a day job. And the reason why I can only watch your guys' show is because I work in a pretty relaxed shop, and I'm grateful for that, but also thankful for all the entertainment you guys put out every single week with WATP, The Creep Off, and WATS, and WATB.
Hey.
Love you guys. Thank you. Fuck you. Bye.
Thank you, Simon. That was a wonderful thing, and Mike and I really appreciate it. As the backbones of this network.
That's true.
Yeah. Where would he be
without
you? You
guys
got
way more voicemails than us, though. That guy should call us and be like, hey, WATS is great, you know?
Don't come on this show and try to poach my voicemailers.
I'm just saying, Thursday's at 6. Probably a more convenient time for this guy to watch than 1 in the afternoon, you know?
I'll tell you what, you could have this guy.
Submission for creepy voicemail? Vinny... Carl. Yeah, that's all, bud.
Yeah, that was lame, buddy. But you could have that guy if you want.
All right, fine.
Folks, the contest is open. If you want to leave us a creepy voicemail, just make sure you start with This is an entry for the creepiest voicemail competition, so I know. I don't want to be really creeped out by you people. So you check those out. And go to thecreepoff.com this week and vote for Carl. This has been a lot of fun today, Mike. Thank you for filling in. I always have a great time chatting with you, dude. And obviously vice versa. If you ever need a fill-in for anything, please, please call Carl or something.
Oh, okay. I was actually considering asking you to come on the Blind Mike Project next week, but we'll talk.
Okay, sure. Do anything you need, buddy.
All right.
Anything for
you.
All right, pal. All right. Thanks, everybody, for watching. It's nice to be important, but don't forget, it's more important to be nice. Gagia.
What the hell is this supposed to be?